This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil that is within ourselves and from the evil that results from our actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none shall misguide. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be led astray, none should guide them back to the straight path. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his final messenger and prophet. Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserve to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord and be God conscious, who has created you from one soul, and from it its mate, and from it many men and many women. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the rights that you ask of one another and by the ties of kinship. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you. O you who believe, be God conscious, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth, he will render your deeds righteous and he will forgive your sins. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. Verily the best speech is the speech of Allah and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs is that of the religious innovation for all of that is misguidance, and that misguidance leads to hell. After the pagan Meccans were thoroughly defeated in the battle, the first battle of Islam, the Badr, they were eager to get revenge. They were eager to settle the score. And then within just a year or so, instead of meeting outside of Medina, the pagan Meccans marched onto Medina itself, a full frontal assault onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encamped his soldiers, he had the mountain of Uhud behind him, Jabal Uhud behind him. And he noticed that there was a group of cavalry soldiers led by Khalid ibn Walid, who wasn't Muslim at that time, off to the west. And right there was also a small hill to the west. So he ordered that 50 archers be stationed on that mountain, on that little hill. And he said to them with clear instructions, do not come down from this mountain, because if you do, something bad is going to happen. In fact, even if you see us being killed and the birds are coming and eating from us, do not come down this mountain under no circumstances. So he places a platoon of 50 archers onto this mountain so as to prevent Khalid ibn Walid from outflanking the Muslims. As the battle progressed, the Muslims were on the cusp of victory. And right when it was thought that it was done and dusted, the overwhelming majority of the archers on the mountain became overly eager to join the other Muslims to gather the war spoils. So some of them started descending from the mountain, and a few of them would say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us not to come down this mountain. He gave us clear instructions. And the reasoning given was, the battle is over. We don't need to be on this mountain anymore. So the majority of them descended from this mountain and they started gathering the war spoils. And at that moment, Khalid ibn Walid, he noticed this golden opportunity. And so he charged from around this unguarded side of the Muslim army, exposed flank. And he brought his cavalry around and he thoroughly routed the Muslims. So much so that so many of the great Sahaba were killed in this battle. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had broken one of his lateral incisors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hit in the face, bashed in the face, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People were coming up and trying to shoot arrows at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after all this was done, the Muslims ended up losing in this battle. Because of the direct disobedience that they had gone against what the Prophet ﷺ had ordered them, and because they had rushed to judgment, and because they didn't remember or they didn't realize what would happen if they came down this mountain, it resulted in a humiliating loss for the Muslims. Many of them, their collective self-esteem was shattered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a verse to boost their self-esteem, to give them hope, to reassure them, to remind them of who they were. Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. Do not weaken. Do not falter. Do not disgrace yourselves. Do not weaken. ولا تحزنوا and do not be sad. Do not despair. وأنتم الأعلون and you are indeed superior if you are truly believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this verse to teach the believers that your identity, your view of yourself shall never be eclipsed by one thing only. That one mistake that you make doesn't define you for the rest of your life. And while they had indeed made this fatal mistake of not listening to the Prophet ﷺ, and they now reap the consequences, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to remind them, you are indeed superior if you are believers. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where we see a wide spectrum of views regarding how you view yourself, self-esteem, self-value. And you will see on some extent, to some extent, on one side you will see people taking surfeit measures to the point that it almost is unnaturally boosting your ego in the name of you are the best and you are amazing and you are always loved, etc. And this is good for some people. But sometimes a little bit too much of that makes a person a little bit deluded about themselves. And then on the other hand, you have the other extreme due to certain failed parenting techniques where we use shaming and humiliation all the time as a technique to keep people in line, right? Something, you know, growing up, sometimes, you know, people will say these kind of things. You're worthless and you're this and that and how dare you, and completely annihilate your self-esteem. And brothers and sisters, if we want to understand the meaning of self-esteem, taqdeer al-nafs, uqeemat al-nafs, and the value of yourself, you have to look back to the Qur'an, and it is filled with examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored you as humans and as believers. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the angels prostrate to Adam. In fact, before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam with his two hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create any other creation directly like the way how he created humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed the soul into Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to prostrate to Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you in the best proportion. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ Allah has created you in the best form, in the best proportion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth and its animals subservient to you. You want to clear this forest? You have the ability to clear this forest. And if you look at science and how humans interact with animals, zoologists will tell you that animals have an innate fear of humans. And this fear is rooted in the fact that we stand upright and that when they do things to us, bad things happen to them, right? When a lion attacks some, you know, livestock, something bad happens. Animals know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this fear in the animals to show respect to humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to completely change the landscape of the earth, to manipulate materials. All for what? For your benefit. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made subservient to you what is in the heavens and in the earth. All of it. كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرْنَاهَا لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Allah has made animals subservient to you so that you will be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you free will. But more importantly, as we sit here, The greatest honor Allah has given you is the fact that Allah has given you the deen of Al-Islam. Out of the billions of people out there, Allah gave you the guidance of Islam. How much more honor can you want after the guidance of Al-Islam? And so therefore, brothers and sisters, it behooves us to know that in times of difficulty like we are seeing in our atmosphere, whether it is because of the coronavirus or the political instability or the stock market, we have to have more belief and confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the necessary precautions, taking the necessary measures, and having firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us in the Quran that all forms of glory and dignity and honor and respect, where does it come from? It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةِ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. Whoever desires dignity and honor, then to God does all dignity and honor belong to. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And to Allah belongs all honor, and honor belongs to His Messenger, and honor belongs to the believers. During the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, Umar ibn al-Khattab was marching towards Damascus, towards Sham. And with him was a famous Muslim general by the name of Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. And as they were marching in the wilderness, they came across a very small lake. It was pretty shallow. Not really enough for the horse for you to ride through it, but you need to get off. So Umar al-Khattab took his shoes off, descended, dismounted, took his shoes off, and rolled his pants up, and he got into the water, and he led his own camel through. And so Abu Ubaidah, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're coming down yourself and doing all this? Yani, someone can do it for you. Yani, you don't need to get into this mess yourself. Umar al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, Abu Ubaidah, woe to you. If someone else had said this, it would have been the downfall of the Muslims. And then he said these golden words, Inna kunna adhalla qawmin fa'azzana Allahu bil Islam. Famahma natlub al-izza bighayri ma azzana Allahu bihi adhallana Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us with al-Islam. Allah, we used to be lowly without the deen, and now Allah has honored you with the deen. So whenever we seek glory and dignity and respect in other than al-Islam, we will be debased and we will be humiliated. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in ba'd. In the Journal of Social Issues, there was a professor by the name of Jennifer Crocker, and she did a very, University of Michigan, she did a very extensive research on the motivating factors of self-esteem, specifically with students. And so she tracked them over the year of 3 years, freshmen in college. And so she started looking and interviewing them before they went in and throughout the 3 years. And she discovered that in her initial findings, she wanted to get the preliminary survey of the opinions. And she asked them, the students, about 600 of them, what do you think drives your self-worth and self-esteem? And what makes you feel good about yourself? And the overwhelming 80% of them said, their academics. Their academics is what gives them self-esteem. And in fact, 60 to 70% of the respondents who were women, right, said that their looks and appearances was very important to them of how they feel their own self-worth. Not saying right or wrong. And as she followed them throughout the few years, she realized that those who overwhelmingly put their academic rigor and success and getting good grades as the yardstick of their own self-worth, despite the fact that they were actually academically inclined and very, very smart, it did not increase them in their grades at all. In fact, it gave them stress. It gave them mental anguish and anxiety. So it didn't actually improve, statistically, it didn't improve their performance. But when she looked at students who based their self-esteem on internal factors, yani their beliefs, their virtues, their moral standards, she found that they received higher grades. They derived their self-worth from meaningful values that they hold true in their hearts. And that is why, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful regarding where we derive our self-esteem and where do we get the sources of honor and dignity. And psychologists have told us that it's both innate, something that is inside of you, as well as external. And we're not saying external factors don't play a role. But what we are telling you as believers, as people who have been honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that don't take external factors too seriously. It affects you, but what affects you more is what is inside your heart and how you view yourself. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, "Man kanat al-akhirah hammu ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbihi wa jama'a lahu shamla." Whoever's their main focus is the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him feel content. And whoever their focus is on the dunya alone, because that's where they think that's where the success is, all they focus is on this worldly affair, the materialistic world. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ Allah will put poverty between their eyes. In other words, that's all they see. Why does that person drive a BMW and I don't drive a BMW? Why is that person with a bigger house and I don't have it? If I don't buy this bigger house, then I have less, then I lose face in the community. What are people going to say? All of these things hinder your view of your self-worth. Brothers and sisters, a couple of things before we conclude regarding some pointers that I want to share with you that will enable us to have a good view of our own self. Number one, be sincere to yourself. Don't focus so much on what people will say. Don't focus so much on what people think of you. Think about what Allah thinks of you. Think about what you're doing, is it right or wrong? And now you hear in the media, you have young people coming up and they'll say like, you know, I love my haters. I love my haters and I love to prove them wrong. And that's on the other extreme if you really think about it. What drives your success is not your haters, for the love of God. It's not the haters that drives you. Because when you focus on your haters, you're now not focusing on what you actually need, but you're trying to become stubborn to prove them wrong. And that's not being true to yourself. فَلَا تَخْشَوْا النَّاسِ وَخْشَوْنِي And do not fear the opinion of people. Don't be so afraid of what other people think. If you are doing something that is right, it doesn't matter what people think. And that's why we have to be very careful about what kind of standards our society puts on us regarding our value. You go to corporate America and you find that the value of people is specifically on the bottom line and numbers and performance. And they don't take into consideration the intangibles of an employee. Of if this employee brings a certain soft skill to the table, that even though they might not be as technical in this role, but they bring a certain skill set that boosts the job performance, that enhances cooperation among the teams. For a lot of these people, they don't think about these things. They just, how much money do they bring in? Sales and performance and metrics, and that's how they view it. And in many ways, we are accustomed to that. We judge our worth based on external factors. What school you went to, what was your GPA, what car you drive, what house you have, what vacations you take. And we think that that's what makes us special. And that is not what makes us special. Additionally, brothers and sisters, having tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, In times like we see now, where there is concern and even panic with the coronavirus that we have, you see certain people just completely, utterly, without even thinking, just making unilateral decisions and going to the store and buying things that they don't need. Like, for example, toilet paper. Last time I checked, coronavirus does not cause diarrhea. Okay? And you go to the store and they have sanitizers, all 30 of them into their cart. And they think that this, I mean, you buy a few, but they take like all 30 of them, push them into the cart. If you said, can I please get one instead? No. Yani, they've lost yani, any hindrance or semblance, excuse me, of self-respect. Have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the necessary measures. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered to go back to Fir'aun, he was afraid that Fir'aun was going to humiliate him. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَشُدُّ عَضُدَكَ بِأَخِيكَ. We will strengthen you with your brother. And he said, Ya Allah, I'm afraid that my speech is stuttery and I cannot argue and debate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed it for him, gave him strength. Finally, brothers and sisters, part of having good confidence and self-respect and dignity is knowing how much you have good going for you. Being grateful for what you have. The angels make dua for you. Those, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِهِمْ. The angels that are around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And they are doing istighfar for you. Ibrahim made dua for you, alayhi salam. Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, made dua for you. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, made dua for you. You have the prophets and the angels making dua for you. And best yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of your dua. And the ulama have said, when you make a dua, three things happen. Either Allah answers it or removes a harm from you, or He gives you something better on the Day of Judgment. So remember, you have a lot of things going for you instead of being sad about your situation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. And at this time of our need, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of you and your families from anything that you are worried about, whether it is bacterial or viral, whatever it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your families. And do not forget to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take the necessary means. Wa aqim as-salah.